How's everybody doing today? Glad you guys are here. I hope you had a great Christmas. You're starting to recover a little bit. How many of you are tired from all the celebrating? Would you raise your hand? Tired from all the celebrating? You know, it's funny, we look so forward to it, and then after all the month of celebrating, you're like, I'm just ready for a little bit of just normalcy in my life a little bit. But I'm excited for 2025. I'm excited for the new year, especially for the new year here at Axis Church. We are starting a new series next week, kind of a mini series on the life of David. We're going to look at four big moments in the life of David from the Old Testament, and we're calling that series After God's Heart. And then after that, we're going to do a series called Abide, and that series is all about how we are going to abide in Christ. If you abide in him, then you will bear much fruit. And I think what a great way to start the year by talking about what it means to really remain in Christ in 2025. But today is the last message in our Born series. We've talked about how God was born with us, that he is for us, and that he was born to us. And that's that passage in the Christmas story where we say that today is born to you in the town of David, a Savior is Christ the Lord. And today we're going to do a message called God is born in us, born in us. And this is a message on the Holy Spirit. Now, I brought a flower with me on the screen behind me. Now, I'm not a green thumb at all. So don't get the wrong impression. I did not grow this flower. But does anybody know what this flower is? Well, that's ironic because it's called a forget-me-not. And apparently you guys forgot what it was, but that's what it is. And there's an old legend of a story of a knight who grabbed those flowers to give them to his sweetheart. And he got swept away by the river. And as he was handing them, he yelled as he was swept down the river, forget-me-not. That's a legend. I Googled it. It's true. You know, anything on Google must be true. But I wonder about the lives of the disciples in those moments when Jesus, you know, he told them he was going to die. He was going to resurrect from the grave. And he said, then I'm going to leave you. And he did die by crucifixion. He resurrected. And then he came to the moment of the ascension. And I can imagine how those guys must have felt. Their leader, their Lord, was now really leaving them, they felt like. And will they have the ability to do what he's asked them to do? Will they be able to present this gospel message to the world? Will they be successful at that? And Jesus assured them, I will be with you always. But it wasn't just at the ascension that he promised them that. He also had said it back in the book of John. He had told them that I will be with you. And he says it in this way, John chapter 14, verse 16. I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, the Spirit of truth, to be with you forever. The world cannot accept this counselor because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, and you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And Jesus is saying, don't be dismayed. I will not forget you. What you have learned from me is going to be with you, but not only that, my Spirit is going to be with you. And it's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so today, I'm just going to take some big questions about the Holy Spirit. And I pray that by the end of this, you have a better understanding of what it means to have God live in your heart. Number one, who is the Holy Spirit? He is the third person of the Godhead. He is a person, which means he is not an it. He's a person, which means he's not something to be felt. He is someone to be known. He is a person, a presence in our life. He's not third because he's third in authority or third in leadership. He's third because he's the third one to be fully revealed in Scripture. He's co-equal with God, co-equal with the Son. And he has been with us from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He was from the beginning. So think about that for a second. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was part of creation, the same Spirit that empowered the resurrection of Jesus, The same Spirit that empowered him to perform miracles, the same Spirit that healed blind eyes and to teach with authority is the same Spirit that is inside of me and you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 talks about what we talked about a couple weeks ago, the Trinity. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In that verse, we see all three aspects of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is not a lesser form of God. He's not a divine assistant to the Father. He is God himself. And I know that that is a mystery to understand. We try very hard to explain that. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, how we try to explain the Holy Spirit. We say that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. We say, yeah, but we don't have any concept like that in our reality. And yet, we kind of do. I'm a father. I have four children. I'm a son. I'm a son of Don and Nancy Sams. And I am made up not just of a physical body and mind. I've been made up of a mind, a body, and a spirit that will live even beyond me. We were created in God's image. And we try also to use earthly examples. We think about water in its various forms. Water is liquid, it's cool, it's refreshing. Then it's a solid, it's solid ice. It's there in a cup on a hot day. Or a steam that comes off of boiling water, each made of the same substance, H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. They exist in various forms, but in their essence, they are all the same. Imagine that God the Father is like that ice, strong, foundational, unmovable. He sets the boundaries. What he says is what is done. God the Son is like water. He's movable, meets us where we are. And in John chapter 4, he describes himself that way. He says, I am living water. If you take from me, you'll never go thirsty again. And then the Holy Spirit is like that steam. You can't hold it in your hands, but it's undeniable. You know it exists, but he moves in places you cannot even see. The Holy Spirit gets into the cracks and crevices of our lives, the things and the places that we have hidden. And when we're a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit gets invited to every part of our life. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father is and as much God as the Son is. Number two, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? What's the role of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit lives inside ordinary people who are believers in Jesus and empowers them to do extraordinary things. Listen to John chapter 14, verse 16 again. It says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor, or another version of the Bible says another advocate, and he will give you an advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He's talking about the Holy Spirit there. And Jesus is just saying, I will send you another. Now, I know that pastors, we like to throw out Greek words, and we think we're so smart, or we act that way. The truth is, I did very poorly in Greek. You can ask my professor in Milligan. I did pass, however. Amen. Anyway, but I can read a dictionary. And the word there for another in John chapter 14, verse 16, is the word allos, which means another of the same kind. Now, he could have used a different word. There's another word for another of another kind or a different kind. In other words, like two different kinds of plants. But he's saying, no, this is another of the same kind. What Jesus is saying here is, I am going to send my Spirit to be with you. Not something different, my Spirit to be with you. He uses that very specific word. And then he says, this is an advocate. And the word in Greek is like two words put together. It's parakletos. It's a compound word. Para means to attach to, and kletos means to be invited. So he's saying the Holy Spirit, this advocate, is invited to be connected to you. He's invited to be attached to you. He is an advocate. He is your helper. And by the way, he's not your co-signer. He's not a stamp of approval on the stuff you want to do, but you shouldn't do. No, he is your helper. He is your advocate. He is your counselor. The Bible calls him our guide, our comforter. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, guides us into all truth. And Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And notice he said, led by the Spirit of God. In other words, you could be led by a lot of different things out there. You could let anxiety or depression lead you. You could let fear lead you. You could be led by your emotions. But he's saying, I want you to be led by the Spirit of truth. I want you to be led by the Spirit of truth in your life so that when you choose a leader, the best leader out there is God and God himself. How many of you agree with that? I mean, there's a lot of leaders out there, but God is our leader. And so I challenge you today, let the Spirit lead. When fear knocks on your door, let the Spirit answer. When doubt creeps in, let the Spirit speak truth into your heart. When the Holy Spirit is leading your life, he's shaping you into the kind of person that God wants you to be. And that's the benefit. And by the way, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And how many of you know we need God's power in our life? I mean, I do. There's so many times where I think, I don't know how I'm going to live the Christian life. I don't know how I'm going to make the right decision or how I'm going to lead the church well or how I'm going to lead our family well or how I'm going to do this or that. And God's Spirit just gives me wisdom and assurance, helps me understand what to do or what I need to do. We've seen so many people, the Holy Spirit in their life has had the ability to help them break addictions or overcome obstacles. We've seen the Holy Spirit in people's lives have the kind of power that emboldens them to live courageously for Jesus in their life, the power that turns timid fishermen into bold preachers, the kind of power that transforms a persecutor of the church named Paul into the greatest missionary. It's the kind of power that keeps you from giving into temptation. It's the kind of power that keeps you from cussing out that person who cuts you off on the highway. We all need that kind of power. It's the power to love the unlovable and to give you courage when you're afraid. That's the kind of power the Holy Spirit gives us. And I don't know about you, but I need that power. In the New Testament, we learned that God's Spirit was able to empower the resurrection, empower the ability to do miracles. And the word power there is the word dunamis. It's like an explosive power, like dynamite power. But I'll tell you, one of the ways that God does that for me is just in small, practical ways. God's power is not just big. It's in the small moments of life. And here's what I mean by that. What I mean by that is that the Holy Spirit oftentimes will guide through nudges or convictions or whispers. You need to talk to that person. That person's in need. They're hurting. This individual has something they need to talk about. Or maybe the Holy Spirit whispers you in a way that says, you need to stop doing what you're doing because it's not the right thing, or you need to get up and start doing something else because that is the right thing. And you might ask, well, has he ever spoken to you audibly? No. But I can tell you in my heart and in my spirit, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I need to do something, or I shouldn't be doing something, or I'm comforted in some way, or God's giving me value in some way. And that's the Holy Spirit of God leading us. And I just want to encourage you guys, in 2025, be aware of that small voice in your life. Because if you pay attention to it, you'll hear and you'll listen and you'll know. Let me give you one illustration of that. Many years ago, I was driving on the highway. I used to have a friend named Sandy that went to college with me. We grew up together. And I had graduated from college, and now I was driving on the highway. This was about a year after graduation. And suddenly, as I was driving, her name came onto my heart and into my head in a way that I cannot really explain to you. And it was so pressing and so much right there, like, you need to call her. That was the big conviction that I had in that moment. Well, of course, I did what so many of us do, and I ignored that impression, and I just kind of pushed it to the side, and I didn't think about it until later in the week. I got a phone call that said on the day that I had had that feeling, that impression, that she had gone in for brain surgery. I didn't know that was happening. I had not been in contact with her for over a year, but I can tell you this, that was a marking moment for my life because I realized in that moment that I need to pay attention to that little voice, that little thing in my heart or my spirit that says, you need to pay attention right now. You need to listen to this because right now I want to tell you something. And while it did not come audibly, I knew absolutely that I should have, after it was over, I should have done something about it. Now, I'm not perfect in it today, but I really try a lot harder to listen to that spirit of conviction, challenge, comfort, and direction in my life. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, number three, let me give you, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? Some of you may wonder, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? Well, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, when you submit to Him and say, Jesus, I need you to be the leader and Lord of my life, that is when you receive the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a couple verses for this. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 39 says, the people were cut to the heart and asked, what shall we do? This is right after Peter was preaching the gospel for their first time. And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That promise is for you, your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Father, our God, will call. So Peter's preaching this sermon. He gives the gospel to them, says Jesus died for you and resurrected. The people are so convicted by that, they say, what shall we do? Peter says, you need to take that belief in Jesus and you need to do something with it. You need to trust in Him. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized into Christ. And he said, when you are, that you receive the gift of forgiveness and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that promise is for you and for all who are far off. In other words, not just for those people, but for all of you and everybody that will ever come after that receives Christ. Here's another verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul said, when you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. When did He do it? When you believed. When you believe means that you trust, you surrender, you turn your life over to the Lord. You don't just say, I might do it, I kind of want to do it. You absolutely trust Him, all right? Trust means you're trusting in the person to catch you. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. And so in light of that, how many of you have ever heard of a trust fall? Raise your hand if you heard of a trust fall. I want to ask Tim to come up here if you would, all right? So Tim's going to come up. He's going to help me out here. It's going to be me and Tim. I looked around the room. I thought, who do I trust the most out of this room to catch me? I'm like, I found him, all right? I found him. Well, Tim's going to be Jesus, all right? And look at him. And look at his biceps. He's got to be, you know, all right? He's got to be a representative. And thank you. And we don't like your jersey, but other than that, we like you, all right? But here's the thing. A lot of people, when it comes to trusting in the Lord for the first time, or throughout their life, they trust Him. They say they trust Him with their mouth, but they don't fully trust Him. They kind of like are here and they say, God, I believe in You. I trust You. But listen, when it comes to that kind of control in my life, you know, I kind of want to keep control of some things. I trust You. I do trust You, but I don't fully trust You. I don't trust You with my, well, let's see. Do I trust You with my family? No, I don't know about that. I don't know if I trust You with that. Or do I trust you with my, let's see, my decisions? No, I don't trust You with my decisions. I want to give You most of my life, but not all of my life. All of us, when we come to the place where we say yes to Jesus, here's what we're doing. We say, I trust You fully. With every aspect, with every part of me, I totally surrender. I surrender all. I trust You. I trust You with my family. I trust You with my decisions. I trust You completely. You're totally and fully reliable. We trust You. Thank You. Thank You. How many of you appreciate Tim? I appreciate him. That would have killed my illustration if he had dropped me, you know? Jesus dropped me. I'd be like, wait a minute. No, that's not good. That's not good. Here's what I'm saying to you. If you want the power of God in your life, you can't try to hold on to things. You can't try to say, hey, I trust You most of the way. When you are submitting your life to Him, it's one of the reasons I think baptism is such a powerful demonstration of this. You are demonstrating a full reliance and trust, your burial with Him, your resurrection with Him. You're saying, I give You everything. I just fully want to embrace You. I want to get rid of my old life. I want to come into a new life with You. I fully trust You. And when you do that, He now has become the leader of your life. You're putting your faith and reliance in Him. Now listen to what Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to him. Now, that's a powerful verse. It doesn't say if you don't go to church, you don't belong to him, or if you don't volunteer or give generously, you don't belong to him. He says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. So we want to have God's Spirit in our life. We want to have God's Spirit indwell us. And so here's a question. How do you know if you have God's Spirit in your life? Well, first of all, I've already said, it's not about feelings, it's about faith. The Bible says that when we confess Christ as Lord and we believe in him, we are sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. That is God's promise to you. So it starts with faith, not feelings. If you accept Christ, the Spirit is already there. But there are indicators that you have that active presence in your life. And here are three of those indicators. Number one, when you have received Christ and you have the Holy Spirit in your life, there's a change in your desires. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 17 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another. So when you come to Christ, God begins to change your desires. What you wanted before, you don't want anymore. Or God begins to change that desire for you. Now you want things of the Lord. Now you want the things of God. You want the right kind of attributes in your life. You want the right kind of activities in your life. You're more involved with those things. And so he changes your desire. The second thing, another way that we know is that we are convicted by sin. If I know that God's Spirit is alive and active in my life, then I know that I'm convicted of the things when I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. So one of the greatest signs that God's Spirit is working in you. When you do something that you know is not pleasing to God, there is this small voice, this nudge in your life where you say, that wasn't the right thing to do. And the Bible says, don't quench the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, don't tamper him down when you start to feel that. You need to be aware because there's consequences that come from that behavior. And then the third thing, I think one of the greatest indicators of the Spirit of God active and alive in your life is what Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, are the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, when you have Christ's Spirit living in your life, you become more and more like him. It's not about trying harder. It's about his Spirit transforming you from the inside out. When you have the Holy Spirit in your life, his fruit is produced in your life. You'll find peace in situations that used to make you anxious. You'll see growth happening and in your life in all these areas. You'll be more loving when you used to respond in anger. You'll have more patience when you used to respond more with frustration. You'll have more self-control when in the past you gave yourself into things. That is one of the biggest indicators of God's Spirit in your life. Now, you can receive God's Spirit, and you do that when you believe, but I also believe that you should continue to be aware of God's presence in your life so that you don't quench the Spirit of God. So oftentimes, I would encourage you this year just to pray, God, just fill me with your Spirit. God, I say, why would you do that? Because I don't know about you guys, but I leak sometimes. I mean, I just do stupid stuff, and I think, man, that just quenched God's Spirit in my life. And I don't want to do that. The Bible says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It's another indication that it's not an it. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in our life. We can grieve God in our lives. And so we don't want to do that. We want to have God's Spirit alive, active, ready, available in our life. So this year, God, please continue to just give me that Holy Spirit. Fill me with that Holy Spirit. God, give me the awareness of who you are. Give me more and more of the awareness of your presence in my life. And so I want to just ask some of you guys as we close, if there are some of you that have never become a Christian, you've never believed, what a great way to start the year 2025. Believe in Jesus, that he died for you, resurrected from the grave. Confess him as Lord of your life. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ. Receive God's Spirit and forgiveness of your sins. Start the year in that way, and it will change your life. For some of the rest of you that maybe you have been feeling like, you know what, I haven't been aware of God's presence, and I need to be more aware of God's presence. Or maybe I've been grieving the Holy Spirit or quenching the Holy Spirit in my life. And just be like, God, I I want to trust you more in my life. I want to embrace what I saw here on the platform today. And I want to not just try to hold on to things. I want to give you every part of my life. I want to do what we used to sing. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. I will give my life. I'll give my everything to him. So in light of that, will you pray with me? God, we're so thankful for your scripture that teaches us. It reminds us of who you are. God, your scripture tells us about who you are in your very essence, God. You're loving, compassionate, kind, forgiving, mercy-filled. And God, you have given your presence in our life to assist and help, to be our advocate, our counselor, the one who convicts us, the one who guides us, the one who comforts us. And so God, would be help us be more aware of your presence and help us on an ongoing basis to be more and more like you. And we pray for that in Christ's name.